This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 6, 2016. The 24th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who gave us eternal comfort and good hope, through grace comfort your hearts. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Learn from those words of St. Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God has given us something tremendous, and that is our Catholic hope, a hope that is markedly different than the hope that the world has for anything. The world hopes subjectively. They hope they get this. They hope they get that. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. For us, hope is something much more of a surety. We have hope. We have hope of things that we do not see. We have hope for those things that we expect our Lord to do for us. That's why He has given us a special hope. Like I said, the world hopes, you know, I hope for this, I hope for that. We have something markedly different. You know that hope is a theological virtue. Faith, hope, in charity, faith, hope, and love. Those three things we do not have innately. They are not part of our being. We have to understand that God gives them to us. So what the world has is hope. We have something much better. We have something that is different. A hope that is, again, a sure thing, not just a conjecture or a desire for something else, but an understanding that we will truly receive it. Hope is a virtue. I said it's a virtue, but it's not the hope. Well, yeah, I know. I hope to go to heaven after I die. It's not for after you die. It's for right here and it's for right now. It is to be experienced here and now. You're supposed to use that theological virtue of hope that our Lord gives you. Well, I just don't have a whole lot of hope. Pray for it. Our Lord says, you receive not because you ask not or you ask wrongly. All the theological virtues, we should ask for an increase in those things. Particularly in our day and age, we need a double dose of this hope. Particularly a Catholic hope, a hope of surety. It is a mean, it is a way that our Lord Jesus Christ has, through His grace, given us something to lead us to the eternal happiness of the other side. Foundationally, it starts to understand this hope that we have that they do not, is that we have to first recognize from whom it comes. It comes from our Lord Himself. It is, as it says in the reading, by His grace given us to comfort our hearts, again, here and now. Today we had the reading of the Decalogue, the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You will have no other gods but me. I am it. I am the only God. It doesn't matter what you are attentive toward because you want to, because you like it, because of your family history. That doesn't make any difference. I am God. I am the one to whom you pay attention. I am the only God. Every time we get together for Mass on Sundays or a feast day, every time you say your rosary, every time you recite the creed, what is the first article of belief? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I pray, God, that when we say these things, when you say these things, particularly when you're in church before the altar of our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that you are not saying things that you don't really mean, or that you're not saying things you really don't get, because I would suggest you not do that. I would actually say, as a priest, I would demand you not do that, because it's a danger of your soul. You are playing with fire, literally and figuratively, if you are saying things and you don't believe them. So you ought to believe God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Because when you believe that, then it is much easier to embrace in all practicality and in your heart this holy hope that he has given us. How can we truly say these things about God? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Or he is the only God. He's the one who brought us out of the bondage of sin. How can we truly say these things and not place all our hopes in him? All our hopes. And it's not something, again, that is subjective or conjectural. It should be real for us. It makes us otherworldly, but it doesn't separate us from this place. As a matter of fact, it solidifies our position in this place because a holy hope adapts our human nature to the consequences of our lives, to what's going on, particularly the bad things. It doesn't separate us from these things here, but it draws us closer to the realities in a new way, in a Catholic way. When you understand that, you approach things tremendously different than the world does, because this hope that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us should fill us with a consolation and an encouragement to put our faith into practice. How many times do I harp on practical Catholicism? Practical Catholicism. You have to live your faith. And part of living that faith is how you deal with the trash in this life. And it's about this life. That reading today, when it talks about this comfort and this hope, it says that it is given us to establish you in every good work and word. That's here and now. All right? Individually, communally, and in the church. We have to exercise this hope, particularly in our day and age. Individually. And we're selfish. That's just our makeup. That's why you're here. And it's not, as I always point out, it's not negative that we're here because we want something for ourselves. We want to go to heaven. We want to live for all eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. This holy hope, again, to utilize it in this world and in these times, we have to understand first and foremost our nature. We think that we are in control of everything. We are control freaks, okay? What's really bad about it is we are, by our nature, control freaks. You know, I'm in charge of that. I know I can do that. I do that. That is such a lie. That is such a lie. The only time you have this illusion of being in control of everything is when God in his providence is making your life pretty well tolerable. Then you think for some reason you're in control of it. You are not. And you will be confronted with things to a lesser or greater extent throughout your life that will demonstrate to you that you are not in control of anything. Do not fall into this big trap of, you can have anything you want in this world if you just put your mind to it. That's a lie. It's a rank lie. I learned that when I was a little kid. You can do anything you want. You set your mind to it. Except for you who wants to be a pilot because your eyes are too bad. Well, what if I do this? Nope, can't be a pilot. Because your eyes are too bad. Guess what? I can will all I want, but my eyes are still bad. I couldn't be a pilot. All right? I learned real early on. You don't get what you want just because you want it. There are some things you can't have, and you have no control over it. Again, we're individual control freaks. Check that. Okay? Understand that that is an illusion. That first reading today, this shows what can happen when you have a holy hope when circumstances are outside of your control. We have these brothers and their mother who are arrested, and they're brought before the king, and they're told, you have to violate the laws of God. You have to eat swine's flesh. We're not going to do it. Beatings. And then, actually, this is one of the few times when I'll say the lectionary does a good thing in editing that, because for decorum's sake, it's good not to read, particularly in front of young people. Go home and read 2 Maccabees chapter 7. It is worse than any horror movie you've ever seen in your entire life. It puts to shame the zombie movies, all right, and shows, whatever. All right? It's horrendous, the things that they do to these young men to try to get them to violate God's will. These young men, and if you read it, you will see, you heard it a couple times in the reading today, even edited, there is this constant reference by these young men that they can endure what they're enduring because they have hope. They have hope in the resurrection. They have a hope in their God that they will be sustained and be able to endure what they endure. Again, it's not a conjecture. You cannot conjecture or subjectively, man, I really hope this is because they're getting ready to do this to me or do that to me. Like I said, read it and understand what they're doing to these guys. But they have a holy hope and an ability to endure the things. And notice this, in your own consequence. Oh, okay, I don't have to worry about being tortured. Well, you might not yet. The way things are going, who knows? All right. But the bottom line on the whole deal is you might not have to worry about that. You have to worry about other things that are outside of your control. God subtly sends little messages to us to let us know you're not in control of anything. Every time you get the sniffles, you know how annoying a cold is? Okay, you got a runny nose. You can't breathe through both your nostrils. You know, it's just annoying as all get out. Why would God do that to me? He wants to show you. Well, I take medicine for it. You still got it. If you were in control of things, you would, I'm never going to get a cold. Guess what? You're going to get one anyway. He's going to let you know. In the most simple things, you can't. And that prepares you to understand that guess what? Ultimately, as you go through life, you're going to get something that's a whole lot worse than a cold. All right? You're going to ultimately die. That's the biggie over which you have no control. You can have a boatload of money and a boatload of doctors, but guess what? You're still going to die eventually. Bottom line. Okay? When we look at that, that's what our Lord is trying to present to us in this idea of a holy hope. It is not that the suffering goes away. These seven brothers endured torture. They were tortured to death. Torture to death. It hurt. God didn't miracle the pain away from them. But they endured it because they had an objective hope in the one that was going to be their resurrection. They knew it. They not only endured the torments, not only the torment, they were emboldened. One of the young men, you would think that this guy who's getting ready to do the most heinous things to you physically, you would think that you would look at and, okay, he's going to do these things to me. He's going to execute me. At least I want to be on his good side, so maybe he just cuts my head off, you know, and it's just over and done with. This young man knows what he's going to get, and he looks at this guy and says, you accursed wretch. How cool is that? All right? He can do that because of the holy hope that was in him. You accursed wretch. And the last one's, I don't mind what you're going to do to me because I have hope in the resurrection and you don't have resurrection. Okay, we have to appreciate that. That's the objective presentation of hope. Like I said, we easily said, well, I don't have to worry about getting tortured. No, you don't have to worry about that, but you do have to worry about sniffles, getting sick, dying, trauma. You have to get used to things over which you have control, like for parents, sick children. You got no control over that. You have to rely on doctors. You have to run them someone else, and hopefully they're going to do what they're supposed to do. You have no control over it. God is letting you know, look at that, where is your reliance going to be? When you're betrayed by a loved one or a friend, an employer, what do? Get in the fetal position and cry and wail and moan? No. Suffer, but have that holy hope. You deal because you're not in control of everything. God is demonstrating to you that you're not in control of everything. That's our lives as individuals, as a community. We have the same thing. Oh my gosh, the discussions about this upcoming week in the election. I'm not going there. I don't care. You know what side you should be on. or I should say, not in this case, you know which side you should not be on. But the bottom line of the whole day, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to be all bent out of shape. Half the people are going to be happy, half the people are not. You know, for the people that get handed the short end of the stick this way, it is going to be, oh, woe is me, this world is going to be living hell. Okay, what? Guess what? The darker things get, the brighter, the most dim light shines, so I'm good with anything that happens. All right? If it goes your way, that's great. If it doesn't, go to work. Start doing what you're supposed to do. Advance the kingdom of Christ. Be salt and light. That's a no-brainer. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay? Don't fret over it. You got no control. How about that? What control over do you have of what happens this week? I'm going to go vote. So they can lose that bad bear or change it or whatever. You know, I don't want to try to be, you know, the wet blanket on the whole thing. You got no control over it. We live in a country of godless heathens. Okay? And they get a vote too. I'm a Catholic and I vote. They're a pagan and they vote. You got no control. All right? We deal with it because we have a holy hope. But we know, no matter what, we ought to know, no matter what God does with that whole thing, that we should approach it and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the church, I used to get all kind of bent out of shape about stuff, and then it was kind of like it was dumbfounding me, and now I almost snicker. You know, every day there's something new. It's like I thought I saw everything, but it just gets more and more ridiculous. You know, this past week, probably the most ridiculous thing as of yet has happened. Oh, let's go act like we're one big happy family with the heretics. The heretics against whom Catholics have fought and shed their blood were martyred. We have martyrs of Holy Church because they were killed in the most heinous ways confronting the heresy of Martin Luther. All right? Martin Luther was a heretic. Martin Luther is a heretic today. He will be a heretic for all eternity. All right? The only thing that he did was destroy the church, tremendously undercut the witness of the Christian religion. You know, you need to know Christ. According to who? Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, whatever. Okay? That's what he did. He separated millions of souls from salvation because he separated them from the sacraments that give eternal life. He separated from the priesthood through whom we get these sacraments. He separated them from the church through outside of which there is no salvation. That's what Martin Luther did. And he just... yeah, he's a great guy. You know, he did a lot of good things. That's trash. Guess what? I got no control over what this guy does and this guy says and this person writes. All right? I got no control over that. So I'm not fretting over that whole thing. Okay? I know what the scriptures teach. I know what our church teaches, has always taught. And I just embrace that. And when I present that and it is in contrast to what others may have done or said, so be it. Okay? They're going to have to argue their point. I don't have to argue mine because of Scripture and the traditions of the church. All right? Let's not lose any sleep over it. This is where the hope comes into play. It comes into play in your individual lives, in your communal lives, and in the church. And if we embrace it, we ought to do just like those brothers did and suffer it. Suffer it, but with our focus to where we can approach it tremendously positively. He is God of the living. That's what he said. That's how the gospel winds up. He is the God of the living. He's our God right here and now. He's not your God after you die and go to heaven. He's your God right now. He wants you to act like you think he's your God right now, or I should say you know that he is your God right here and right now, and we need to utilize what he has given us right here and right now, and in this case, it's a holy hope. His hope is for this life. Let's use it. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.